I plan on leading our church in 2016 to be people-focused. My intent next Sunday morning is to preach a message on the value of people. A church can have program, and we can have plans, and we can have a lot of things, but people are important, and they're important to the Lord, and they should be important to God's people. And so I look forward to 2016 being a year where we heavily invest ourselves in the lives of people. And speaking of that, all the help and labor yesterday for the funeral service, thank you. For the lights, thank you. For serving the Lord, thank you. I'm glad that we have a church that has a servant's heart. Pastor, I want to get involved somewhere. Well, there's plenty of places to get involved. We need your help. I would say this, nothing is glitzy. When you serve the Lord, nothing is glitzy. It's not. I mean, I won't go that deep, but I've cleaned up things here I wouldn't clean up at my own house. Let's just say it that way. Sometimes you just roll your sleeves up and you jump in and you say, Pastor, all I did was watch the restroom, or all I did was watch a door, or all I did was greet somebody, or all I did was pick up a few pieces of paper. Listen, all of those things are important. And if you're thinking, I want to get in somewhere, just get involved in the work, we can use you. So if that's the case, call the office, call me, say, Pastor, I want to see you. Let's find out where you're gifted, and let's get you plugged in, and let's use you for the glory of the Lord. Don't forget, this Wednesday night, we do not have service. We will not meet again until next Sunday morning. And so there's no midweek service usually between Christmas and between New Year's. December 30th will be the last evening that the lights run. So if you have folks that you want to bring or see come, you want to make sure that they get there by December 30th. So January 6th, we pick up with Bible study, with our teen group, with Awanas and all of that. And then there's other announcements in there as far as the wedding reception, ladies in prayer, senior saint luncheon, and our revival with Dr. Ron Comfort. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I need revival. And I know you and you need revival. I'll just say it that way. I think our church needs revival. And when you bring revival to a place, it doesn't come without prayer. You can bring a preacher, but you're not going to have revival if we don't pray. So we're going to spend some time praying. Dr. Comfort is an evangelist. He's a fireball, but he will preach to us. That's the kind of preaching you need in revival, soul-stirring preaching that comes from the heart of the evangelist. I'm the pastor. I do the work of an evangelist, but I'm not the evangelist. There's a uniqueness on the style of preaching that an evangelist has, and our church needs it. So whatever you do, don't think, well, we've heard Dr. Comfort before, so we're not going to come to revival. Listen, he's preaching the timeless word of God, amen? And so you come, you make your plans, begin to invite people to come, and we want to see souls saved and the righteous lifted and encouraged. I hope you're a part of a Sunday school class. We're starting a new series on the 10th, about 13 life-changing passages every Christian ought to know. You know, if I was to be honest with you, I have a window in my office, and it's right over here on this side. If you don't want me to know about your life, you should park over there. Okay? Why? Because I tell when you get out of the car, when you're lovey-dovey, I can tell when you're fighting. I can tell, I watch how you get out, how you slam the door. I watch how you jerk your children around and straighten them up. And I'll watch how, especially I love it when the man gets out and he's on his way and the wife's like 10 steps behind. And then there's moments where you open the door for your spouse and then your kids are all whatever. And I just sit there and laugh and have a good time. When it hurts me sometimes after the morning service, when I see the same people consistently going and they don't come back to Sunday school. Listen, our Sunday school is a blessing. You need Sunday school. You need the teaching of the Word of God. Pastor, that's just not my thing. I don't know about you, but I always want to learn more about God's Word. Amen? And so you ought to pray about and look at the class here and try it out and see what God has for you and be part of that ministry there in the Sunday school time. All right, page number 5. Brother Gary and I were talking about this. I think we're primed and ready to sing this chorus. I sing praises to the Lord. Men, get ready to wait on us for our offering, if you would, please. Let's stand. Let's sing page 5.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
Let's have our prayer. We'll have our offering. Heavenly Father God, that's our desire, to give you glory and to give you praise. For you alone are worthy of that praise and that glory. We give it to you through prayer. We give it to you through service. We give it through in a lot of ways. And one of the great ways is through singing. I loved how we ended the service this morning. In my heart there rings a melody. I read in the Bible where it talks about when I got saved, you put a new song in my heart. And so what a joy it is to worship you by singing the praise. And God, as we end the year, and this will be our last service tonight before the new year, I pray, God, that you would get a hold of our hearts, get a hold of our understanding. Lord, the truths that have been in the messages today our life changing, if we will apply them to our lives, God, then we'll know peace. We'll be able to go forward day by day, trusting you. Lord, I do believe that as we wait upon you, we'll be renewed and with strength and mount up with wings as eagles, and we'll run and not faint, and we'll know that you're carrying us along. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for blessing us. Today, God, in the offerings, we bring what belongs to you, the tithe, and then we give offerings of love. We do this in recognition that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And he's the Lord of the tithe, and God, he is the Lord that we bring offering to. So receive it for your glory now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Ariana. Beautiful. Tell you what, God's got his hand on that girl for piano playing. We're rearing up some church musicians here, and what a joy, what a blessing. And I know she practices hard, and she loves to play for God's glory. If you have your Bible this evening, find, if you would, Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3 will be our text this evening. And I knew that I would piggyback tonight's message off of this morning's message. And I appreciate so much you coming back to get the second part of this morning's message. If you were not here this morning, we went to the book of Genesis and we looked at the life of Joseph. And Joseph is one of the most important Bible characters in the Old Testament, not only for the day in which he lived, but also for our day. God used Joseph mightily to save and protect the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was vulnerable by a great famine in the land, and that famine could have destroyed them. And God knew that that famine would come, and God was going to provide provision through this famine. And God decided that he was going to use a young man named Joseph. The reason it's important for you and I that the nation of Israel was protected is because it was the nation of Israel through whom Jesus would be born. And so there's a satanic plot that goes all the way through the Bible, how that Satan tried to annihilate the Jewish people to keep the Christ child from being born. But hallelujah, Satan was unable to accomplish that, and God protected the nation. And so what God did in protecting the nation was God chose Joseph. When you first are introduced to Joseph, it's the second time you're introduced to him, we're told his age, 17 years of age. And God gave him a dream. Actually, God gave him two dreams. And those dreams was God's direction and God's word for him back in that day. That's how God would communicate to people. Today, God communicates through the Lord Jesus and through his word. Be careful of dreamers today. Somebody comes to you and said, I learned something in a dream. If you can't match that in the word of God, they learn nothing. Amen? All right, so be careful of dreamers. God's going to communicate to us through his word. But back then, that's how the Lord would do it. And so the dream was, in effect, that Joseph would be exalted, and his dad, his mom, and his brethren would bow down and they would worship him. 17-year-old boy, that's quite a dream. And so excited was Joseph about this dream that he began to share his dream with those that were around him. I'm sure an expectation grew in his heart about the working out of that dream. And it wasn't very long that he went from a dream that God had given him to a nightmare of a life. And we talked about this morning. After communicating his dream, his brothers envied him and hated him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites dealt him to Potiphar. He was betrayed by his brethren. He was sold by his brethren. He got into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph, and she concocted a story of rape that was not true in her frustration and in her anger. And so she gave this story to her husband. Her husband, of course, being upset at that, had Joseph arrested, and an innocent man was thrust into prison. We found that he was in prison for 2 years. And so we linked that and likened that to our lives. And we preached a message this morning that was entitled, What Do You Do When Your Dreams Don't Come True? What do you do when your dreams don't come true? And so we said that as we ended 2015, there may be the expectation from some of God's people that, you know, Pastor, I thought my life would be so different at the end of 2015. And I thought I knew what God wanted for me. I thought I knew where God was directing me. I should have had whatever you thought that you should have had at that moment. And I did not want you to end the year in a vulnerable position where you could be tempted, therefore, to believe that our God is not good. Let me tell you something. Despite your life, my life, or anybody's life, or any circumstances, our God is good, and he's good all the time. So what do you do as a Christian when your plan, when your dreams don't come true. Joseph's dream did come true, but it came true 22 years later. He was 39 years old, 17 to 39. And in the course of that 22 years and all of the nightmare life that he lived, I know there were moments where Joseph thought, is this thing really going to happen? And then on the back side of that, Joseph was able to write, and we picked up throughout Genesis 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, all the way going to chapter number 50, where he taught us some things. And he said, the first thing we need to understand is that God has a plan for our life. And God's plan does not have to be limited to our timetable. If you try to put your timetable on God, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to have difficulty. And so we learn that Joseph said, you boys, you sold me, but God sent me. And so what was Joseph saying? Joseph was saying, even though you had an evil intent and you sold me, I can see that God had a plan for my life and God sent me. So as a believer who walks with the leadership of the Lord and the leadership of the Spirit of God, when things happen in our lives or things don't happen in our lives and somebody does something evil to us or something doesn't happen, we kind of relegate that to our position there. But we need to understand that God has a plan for our life and he has a unique plan for your life. Pastor, God doesn't even know my name. That's a bold-faced lie. God loves you. And you never reach a stage where you're out of the game. Okay? So when you're out of the game, your spirit will leave your body. Do you want to be out of the game? No, we want to serve the Lord. So Joseph said, hey, God's got a plan for our life. Now, when I understand that God has a plan with my life, then God is presently involved in my life. And so God's not just going to leave his investment or his plan unattended to. And so God's presence is involved. And we talked about how when Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites, God was with him. And sometimes we can get into our lives and we can think because of the circumstances of our life, whether it was something that happened or didn't happen, that somehow God has forsaken me or forgot about me or God's distracted from me. But my friends, God's with us. He's with us all the time and he's constantly working out that plan. See, you and I forget about God, but God never forgets about us. See, when things are good, sometimes we forget about God. When things are bad, sometimes we forget about God. But God never forgets about us. So there's not a moment of your life that God's not concentrated on. So in his presence, with his plan, there's a persistence in God. What does that mean? That means every day God is working in you and directing you and placing you and bringing people in your path, allowing certain things to happen, certain things not to happen. But Pastor, I have expectation. I understand that. But the ultimate expectation is I can trust God with my life. And if I try to have an expectation of, well, I need this now, or I've got to have this to be happy, or I've got to have this or whatever, that expectation is going to fall so short, you're going to know nothing but frustration. So God's persistent in working in our lives. And Joseph knew that because he goes from serving in Potiphar's house to being falsely accused. Now he's in a prison. But Joseph got something in that prison that you need. He got God's peace. And so here's Joseph. He's 2 years in that prison. And in the middle of that prison, you remember how he negotiated with the butler, I want you to say something to get me out of this prison. But when the butler got out of the prison because of Joseph's help, the butler forgot about Joseph. And so for 2 years, Joseph had an expectation that, man, I'm getting out, I'm getting out, I'm getting out. But somewhere Joseph ran into his expectation. Somewhere Joseph ran into his frustration. And somewhere in that prison, Joseph submitted himself and said, God, this wasn't my dream. This isn't what I thought you were going to do. God, you gave me this dream. It's impossible to happen inside here. But I submit to your plan, and God gave Joseph peace. Let me ask you a question. If you know God's peace, say amen. It passeth all understanding. So when Joseph is brought out of that prison to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is a wreck because he can't interpret his dream, Joseph says, Pharaoh, I learned that peace is not within a man, but God can give you peace. So when your dream doesn't come true, and you begin to analyze your actions, behaviors, decisions, choices, circumstances, friends, and you begin to analyze all that, listen, peace is not possible within the human heart. It's possible with the divine heart of God. And God gives that peace. And so, well, Pastor, we should have had this. I should have been promoted. My life shouldn't be like it is now. Okay, but God has a plan. God is present and working in your plan. He's persistent. And you better let God give you a peace about where you are, or you're going to do something foolish like try to run your own life. Amen? Okay. And then when Joseph got done with that peace, it settled him with the understanding of the providence of God. And so at the end of Genesis chapter 50, Joseph said to you what we needed to hear. Joseph said, I came to the realization that I'm not God. I came to the realization that I'm not God. I don't know everything. I can't control everything. He said, now I know this, that you boys tried to do me evil, but I understand that God took your evil and God turned it around for my good. And Joseph said, in turning that evil around for my good, I see God's plan for my life, because God used me to save many people. And really, when Joseph surrendered to the providence of God, he took his eyes off himself, and it became all about God's plan. It became all about God's glory. And Joseph looks back and says, listen, I don't really care what happens to me, but I know that God used me to do this. And that's why God had exalted him. Why do you want to be exalted? Is it because you want a promotion, or because you want this, or because you want to get some advancement? There's not necessarily horribly wrong things with that, but really and truthfully, the reason that God will exalt you is because God is working in you his plan, and his plan always involves his glory. And when I begin to be concerned more about God's glory than my own glory, then there's a vessel that God can begin to use. And when God begins to use you, God will take you places you never dreamed you could go. He will provide for you like you never dreamed you could provide. He will care for you like you never dreamed you could be cared for. It's great to be God's servant. So what do you do when your dream doesn't come true? You trust the Lord. You're not God. You're just not God. But you have to be careful, because it leads me into tonight's message. When my dream doesn't come true, I have the vulnerability to think, well, God, you didn't come through. So I want to help you understand something tonight. And I believe this will help our peace and help our understanding. And just write it down and just know it. There will be times in our life when God doesn't come through. Say it again. There will be times in our life when God doesn't come through. But that doesn't mean that he ceases to be God. And that better not mean that I stop following him. Well, Pastor, what do you mean that there will be times in my life when God doesn't come through? I mean, don't you preach that God is faithful? Don't you preach that we can trust him? What do you mean there'll be times in my life when God doesn't come through? Well, let's talk to Daniel. If you could talk to Daniel, did Daniel go in the lion's den or not? Yeah. God didn't come through for Daniel. He allowed him to go into the lion's den. Now, going into the lion's den, God cared for Daniel. But if that would have been me, I would have been praying, oh God, let all these people fall in the pit and let me stay alive. But God just stood there and God said, go ahead, chuck him in. And they chucked him in. If you could go and ask Jeremiah, God didn't keep Jeremiah out of the dungeon. God didn't come through with Job to keep him out of the clutches of the devil. God didn't come through for Joseph to keep him from being sold into slavery. God didn't come through for the three Hebrew children. They ended up in the furnace. God did not come through to preserve the life of John the Baptist. They cut his head off, and they cut his head off for standing up for truth. God did not come through for Paul. He was shipwrecked, stoned, in prison. They killed him. What about Peter? They crucified him. What about the book of Hebrews when it talks about all of those things that the apostles suffered? You see, there will be some moments in your life where God's not going to come through according to our standard. So does that mean that he's not God? And does that mean that I don't follow him? Of course not. That doesn't mean those things. Listen, it won't be long as a Christian when you're growing in the Lord, where God will begin to wean you like a nursing mother will wean a sucking child. And how does God wean his child? Well, a nursing mom tries to protect a little nursing baby from everything that can hurt them. And as your child grows to be one or two or three, it's like we want to kind of surround their life with mattresses. But there reaches a time when you've got to wean your child from that immature position. And that looks something like this. For all those years, you've said, don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. Don't touch that. Touch it. What do you mean? Touch it. I don't want to touch it. Touch the stove. Ooh. Hot, isn't it? Yeah. Now don't touch the stove. So what is the parent doing? He's weaning that child to a position to trust the parent's word. And he's trusting the parent's word based on that. There will be times in your life as you grow where God's not going to remove the lion's den. He's not going to keep you from being fired. You're going to get your tail fired. There's going to be times when that relationship is not going to be two-sided. It's going to be one-sided. There's going to be times when we're going to suffer. There's going to be times when you're going to think beyond measure. Man, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is God's plan for my life, that God is going to meet this deadline. God's got to meet this deadline. If he doesn't meet this deadline, I'm going down, and the deadline goes this way. But God, I thought you were going to meet my deadline. And God says, I don't work according to your deadline. He's Almighty God. Amen. All right. So there's some times when God is not going to come through the way that we think that he ought to come through. And so there's times he's not going to choose to keep you out of trouble. He's going to let you go into trouble. There's times that he's going to work according to his own will, not your will. His schedule, not your schedule. And he's working these things out for your glory. And so, Pastor, what do I do when God doesn't come through? You need to remember three things. Write them down. Number one, when God doesn't come through, it's never because he's unable. It's never because he is unable. It's imperative that you understand that. Look, if you would, at Daniel chapter 3. You know the story. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pick up, if you would, at verse number 15. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said to them. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is, say it, he's able. He's able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then verse number 18, read the first three words. But if not. You see, these guys were standing there, and they're standing there in that opportunity. And they've got to fall down, and they got to worship Nebuchadnezzar, which would be a sin against God. You know that. The fiery furnace is the threat to them. And those men, they did believe that God was able to deliver them. But they were going to go through and serve the Lord, whether God delivered them or not. God, I know you're able to come through, but if you don't come through in this moment, then we're going forward and we're going to trust you. And so one of the things that we got to remember is that when God doesn't come through, it's not because you've run into a problem that's too big for God. It's not because the expense is too much for God or the cost is too great for God. It's never because he is unable. And by the way, if it was because he was unable, we would have reason to worry. But it's not that. But if God doesn't care to divulge the reason why he didn't come through, that's up to God. Okay? I go back to this statement. You're not God. So, here's the three Hebrew boys. God, we don't like where we're headed. We know you're able to deliver us. But if not, we're not going to do wrong here. And so, God never said anything. God never did anything. God was dead silent. And they took those three Hebrew boys, and what do? They threw them in the furnace. You know the story, that God meets them in that furnace, and God delivers them. So in your problem, when God doesn't come through, it's not because he's unable. It's just because he's chosen not to move according to your time. It's not because he's unable. It's because he's chosen not to move according to your time. But Pastor, I needed him in that moment. No, God is eternal. God does not work according to our time. But Pastor, I could never go through that. Yes, you can. Pastor, what's going to happen if this happens? I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this. If God wanted to deliver you from that, he could. He could. But he stepped back and he let you go through it. So what do you do? Do you stop believing he's God? Do you stop following him? Or do you think in your heart and your mind, well, God, if you wanted me to have that, I could have had it. God, if you wanted to keep me from it, you could have kept me from it. God, if you didn't want me to go through this difficulty, I wouldn't have gone through it. Now, God, I don't know what you're doing with my life, but I know this. You're all powerful and I trust you. You promised you would never leave me. It looks like I'm going through it, but hallelujah, you're going through it with me. So relax. Number two, when God doesn't come through, sometimes it's because you're unprepared. You're unprepared. See, we think in terms of right now, but God views from an eternal perspective. And sometimes you're unprepared for the moment. That's why, praise God, you can't be God. And I touched on this a little bit this morning. Sometimes you can give your children so many things, they hurt themselves with it. All right? And sometimes as a parent, I can actually put my kids in a dangerous position even off of the goodness of my heart. Maybe I want to get them a car that they're not able to drive. It's too much car for them, but I want them to have that car. They want that car, but in reality, they don't need that Pontiac GTO or whatever it was my dad drove. They needed that Volkswagen Rabbit that he gave me. Okay? Or they don't need this or they don't need that. So your human heart, listen, can be manipulated. But the heart of God cannot be manipulated. And so there's times in our lives where we think, God, you got to come through now. And God says, I can't. You're unprepared. If I move now, it will hurt you. You need to go through this. You need to have this. You need to experience this. You don't need what you think you do. Understand, I'm watching over you. I will move when it's my time to move. But you're not prepared for what you think you're prepared for. And by the way, human nature is to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And so we think, okay, I can handle this. Give it to me now, God. And God says, no, you can't. No, you can't. You need to hurt a little bit. And let me say this too. God's okay with you hurting. I hate to hurt. But God's okay with you hurting. We do whatever we can to try to recoil ourselves from pain or to keep ourselves from rejection or to keep ourselves from whatever. But God's not afraid of any emotion that we go through. God's not afraid of any problem that we go through. Why? Because God's able to go through that with us. And so he understands. And when God doesn't come through in your life, sometimes it's because you're unprepared. I want to say this because I've run into this two times here recently. About this preparation. That's why you need to spiritually grow. That's why you need to be reading your word. That's why you need to be praying. That's why your spiritual health ought to be important to you. Because if you're never working or growing spiritually, you're never preparing yourselves to go forward. And you find out that you miss out on a lot of things that God has for you because you're unprepared. Amen? You understand that? Number three, and I'll finish. When God doesn't come through, it's always in order to work out his eternal redemptive purposes. It's because God has redemption in mind. If you remember what Joseph said back in Genesis, Joseph said, "You sold me, God sent me to save much people." At the end, he said, "What you meant for evil, God used for good, as it is to bring again this much, much people." And so sometimes you got to understand that the number one thing important to God is the souls of men and women. And God will work in your life. Well, Pastor, man, I worked 5 years. That guy worked 2 years. He got promoted. I got jack nothing. How's that possible? Well, it's not because God couldn't have promoted you. It might be you're unprepared for God's exaltation. Or maybe you're not done witnessing to the man beside you. Well, Pastor, this relationship ought to develop. But wait. Maybe it's not because God can't do it. Maybe you're unprepared. But maybe God doesn't want you invested in that relationship. God's got you wanting to invest you in these other relationships. And I'm going to tell you something. And this is a tough statement, but I think I can back it up from Scripture. God will pretty much do anything to anyone to allow someone else to hear the gospel. He'll break your leg and put you in a hospital bed if he trusts you to witness Christ. Well, I'm not going to become trustworthy. I don't want my leg broken. God will change your job. God will turn your whole life upside down. Because he's working his eternal redemptive plan. We're so short-sighted. We're so now-driven. But if we could step back in those moments of our lives and say, "Now, wait a minute, God. I didn't think you'd make me walk through this, Lord. Now, I know you're able to help me, but you didn't. So there's a reason. Maybe, God, I'm unprepared. God, if I'm unprepared, then do a work in my heart." Or maybe you want to do a work where I am, or you're moving me here for an eternal redemptive process. Listen, our responsibility is to serve the Lord. Amen. And when it boils down to it, church, it's not he who dies with the most toys that wins. We take nothing on this earth with us but the souls of men and women. And so you can spend your life trying to do whatever you want to do. But God's not interested in you having your focus there. God's focus is not on things. God's focus is on people. And sometimes God's not going to come through, but you got to just trust, okay, you're working your eternal redemptive process in my life, and you're using me. And so therefore, God, I submit. What do you do when your dream doesn't come true? You submit to God. What do you do when God doesn't come through? You submit to God. You say, "God, I'm not you, but I trust you, and I want you to work and lead me in my life. And God, I want you to get glory from that." Amen? If you apply those things in your life, in the moments of life, you will find that your life will take on an enthusiasm. It will take on a vision. It will take on an expectancy that you never dreamed. All right, shall we have our prayer?